Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you heard all the rave about the new Quick Grill located inside the Be Quick Chevron on Veterans Boulevard? Come visit Be Quick Chevron along with Quick Grill, Be Quick Food Marts, your locally owned hometown convenience store, wherever you are.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time.
What is it you want to do when you grow up?
Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Rebel Report. I'm Michael Borky. Bit of a special edition, if you want to call it that, today, because there's a couple of things I want to bring your way. First, there's some possible news on the football front, transfer portal edition, a familiar name. So we'll tell you about that, as well as get you to the Mike Bianco interview from the radio show yesterday. And then, of course, we'll go live tonight after Ole Miss and Southern Miss baseball. So glad you guys are here. Follow me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y, and wherever you get your podcasts. If you have not subscribed to this one, please do that. Subscribe wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. I appreciate you guys being here. As always, first, we will start with a news item, a familiar name at the transfer portal, Henry Parrish of Miami, formerly of Ole Miss. Hit the portal today. I just got done recording some thoughts on that, so I will bring those to you right now. So here's some thoughts on that portal edition and where Ole Miss possibly stands and what it would mean and all that good stuff. So here that is for you. Just finished recording it. Here that is for you right now. Ole Miss needs help in the running back room. It's something that we've talked about a good bit before with the departure of Quinshon Judkins. Almost 300 carries needs to be replaced, and despite the weirdness of that breakup and how it went down and things like that, he was a highly productive workhorse running back, and Ole Miss needs to replace him. And currently in the running back room, they have Ulysses Bentley, who in his own right is extremely good and productive, has not been able to stay healthy. That's been one knock against him, is just unfortunately has not been able to stay healthy through the course of an entire season. But when he's healthy and when he plays, he is productive, has not been given the volume of carries that Judkins has. You have Riscano, who is a completely and totally unproven commodity, has not taken a meaningful snap in college football yet. Now, all of the talk out of that program is they really like him and think that he's got an incredibly high upside. But until we see it, we just don't know. And then there's the LSU transfer, Diggs, who is coming off of an injury where they're not even sure if he's going to be available come August when the season begins. And frankly, that is just not enough. They cannot go into this season with that being their running back room with no additional help. They were always going to add in the spring portal window, regardless of who it is. They need an additional body in that room, and help might be on the way. Familiar help as well. Henry Parrish, again, a familiar name, hit the portal or announced that they were doing the transfer portal thing today. This is kind of how it works. You get like two news cycles out of the same transfer. You get intends to hit the portal and then hits the portal. But Henry Parrish, currently at Miami, reported by basically everybody at this point, intends to hit the transfer portal. And Matt Zienitz reported that Ole Miss is going to be the favorite to land his services. For whatever it's worth, I agree. I do think that Ole Miss is the likely destination, but you know how portal recruiting gets sometimes. Either way, you guys know that name because he initially went to Ole Miss out of high school, and he was productive at Ole Miss. Followed Kevin Smith from Ole Miss to Miami, the running backs coach, and Kevin Smith now obviously back at Ole Miss, obvious connection. Sometimes 1 + 1 just equals 2. And again, a productive back. Looking at his numbers here, so he was in 2021, he had 550 rushing yards for Ole Miss on 5.3 per carry, had 173 receiving yards that year as well. Transferred to Miami, ran for 617 in 2022 on 4.7 per, ran for 625 this year on 6.3 per, and also caught 120 yards worth of passes in 2022. Did not use him as much in the passing game this year at Miami, but a productive back. in his own right, very experienced, has 4 years of experience playing college football, obviously going through those numbers. And it makes just a metric ton of sense for him to return to Ole Miss and for Ole Miss to want him to return. Mostly, in my opinion, it's about familiarity, especially with a late portal addition where acclimation and learning the offense and getting settled into a locker room and into a program is, you got to do it much faster. Well, what better person to have to do that quickly than somebody that's been there? Henry Parris knows Oxford and Ole Miss, and he knows Lane Kiffin, and he knows Kevin Smith, and he knows the offense. It's for a spring portal addition, the transition would be relatively seamless for somebody that's played in the program and been in the program and played for that coach, both head coach and running back coach in the past. But again, highly productive. He can catch out of the backfield, a veteran player. It seems like it would be a pretty low-risk transfer portal addition for Ole Miss. It's especially in the spring window where you don't know who's going to enter. Maybe you get like a game-changing back that puts their way in, but it's not a certainty. It's not a guarantee. So somebody like a Henry Parris, you know, can produce at this level, you know, can produce in your offense, you know, is familiar. And that's something that's under-discussed when it comes to transfer portal guys. It's not just how do they fit in your team. It's that, you know, they still go to class and they still have to live in town and they're moving and just all these other things that go on with portal guys that are under discussed. When it's somebody that has this level of familiarity, it feels like the hit rate would be much higher. So a very low risk portal addition if it comes to fruition, and Ole Miss needs it. They need a body in the running back room. Having somebody with this experience level and this familiarity to round out that running back room would be a big time addition. Then you could feel really good about what they have in the backfield in Judkins's absence with Bentley and Riscano and then Parrish and then Diggs when he returns healthy. That is a good running back room. And you've seen, I don't think there'd be much issue either with carry distribution. You've seen Ole Miss offenses under Lane Kiffin in the past have four people with over 100 carries. They've done it before. They will probably do it more by committee this year as well. So plenty of carries to go around. It makes a ton of sense. I kind of expect it to happen. Portal recruiting gets weird sometimes, but this would be a big pickup for Ole Miss if it happens. It makes all the sense in the world. We'll see if it actually does, but they need portal help in the running back room. It just might be on the way. So there you go. There's a few minutes of thoughts on that. Before we get to Mike Bianco's interview, I want to tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for your Mississippi office technology needs. If you are a business anywhere in this great state and you need technology in the office, Advantage Business Systems has you covered. ABSMS.com. That is the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. They've got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard, like there's one in my backyard. They make you their priority every single day with local loan servicing and decision making. So all you need is to show up to a Priority One Bank location, and it's that simple. You don't need to get on Zoom or talk to somebody out of state. It's somebody that you will get to know face-to-face because, again, they make you their priority. Their online banking platform is perfect. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Here's that interview with Mike Bianco now. He stood me up last week. So this week, it's just him and Richard. So Mike Bianco's basically dead to me now, but anyway, so that's why I didn't bring it to you last week, because again, he stood me up. There was a really good reason for it, and he's always gracious with his time, and anyway, I hope you guys know I'm just kidding. But Richard, so it's just him this week, But it's good stuff from Coach Bianco. Seems pretty satisfied with his team's performance, although did talk about Sunday struggles and got an update injury-wise on JT Quinn and more. So really good stuff here, and that will also end the podcast. So enjoy that interview. Even though it's Richard, just try your best to enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys after the Southern Miss game tonight. Here's that interview now, and I'll talk to you after the game.
Congratulations. Good series win to start the season. How did you feel about your ball club this weekend?
You know, obviously, you know, you want to win a weekend, start conference play, so that was good. You want to, get out of the gate well, on Friday night, and we were able to do that. So, a lot of good things. I don't know if we particularly played, real well on Friday, but I thought we played well enough and kind of a gutsy performance. I thought Saturday we played really well. And it's always a little disappointing to not finish the weekend. And, so I think when you win two out of three but lose the last one, it kind of leaves a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth. But I think when you sit back 24 hours later and you look, I thought we beat a very good South Carolina team, so you got to be happy with it.
I guess it is kind of funny how that works. If you flipped the Saturday and Sunday games, it's almost like you would have woken up with a better feeling this morning than having it play out the way that it did.
Well, I think it's true. I mean, I think we, we're human, and you remember what just happened. And so when you don't, and it was really, to be honest with you, Richard, it was the first, time in quite some time where I thought, probably in, all phases of the game, we didn't play awful, but we just didn't play good. And you got to credit South Carolina because I think they are a good club. And, I thought they pitched it really well. We really handled them on the mound for 18 innings. They got some hits and scored some runs. The five earned, which isn't an awful day by any stretch of imagination on Sunday. But if you're going to do that, you got to score some more runs, and we weren't able to do either.
You used the word gutsy just a second ago when you were describing Friday night. I think it's a great word. We were talking earlier about that and said it was just kind of a grind on Friday night. And those are games that are hard to win, but if you look up at the end of the year and you're in position to do something great, you probably had to do that some along the way, right? Maybe not be your absolute best, but just figure out a way to win and kind of tough it out.
Yeah, and there's a lot of different ways to look at it. And, the goal always, and we talk about it so much, and I know it sounds like coaches speak, but in our sport, especially in the SEC, there's such a thin line between each team and who's good and who's not. And the game is won by the team that plays the best, not necessarily the best team or the most talented team. And so the best team at the end of the year is the team that went through the 30 games that plays the best. And and sometimes you won't be at your best. You just need to be better than the team in the other dugout. And I thought we made some mistakes. We could have made it a lot easier on ourselves on Friday, but we didn't let it blow up in our face either. So when we didn't make a play or didn't make a pitch or didn't have a great at bat, I thought we were able to minimize and stay in the game. I thought that's what Gunnar Dennis did. I thought he was able to stay in the game and continue to make pitches and get off the field. We were able to, hold it together on the mound as well.
I know we've talked about pitching some over the last month, 5 weeks or so, but I feel like your bullpen is really starting to become a story. Over the course of three games, the bullpen gives up one run all weekend long. And you had some guys that maybe, and I'm thinking specifically about yesterday's game with Kyler Carmack, who had not been great in their first outing or two, came in and really gave you some good and important innings and were able to put zeros up.
Yeah, I mean, we ended up going more than half the game, 4 2/3 to be exact, of no runs out of the bullpen yesterday. And that can help you on Sunday, but it can help you in any phase. I thought, on Friday, I think it was Morrell that came in, looked right. Really good. Then we went Nichols after him, and I think he might have been three up, three down, and may have been three punch outs. And then they let off the eighth with a double, and then I think another hit or maybe an HBP. They got another base runner, and then we brought in Spencer that hasn't pitched more than the max in an outing has been an inning, and he came in and got five outs. And so, yeah, we've done it a lot of different ways, and we got a lot of different ways to go in the bullpen. And you're right, they have been really good, and not just this weekend, but, you know, really since we started the season, the bullpen.
I know you're not going to like this question because you have traditionally not liked comparing players from other teams. So I'm setting this up in advance, but there's a reason. Right. So is there a closer that you have had in the past that Connor Spencer reminds you of? And I ask that because you've had guys that look a lot different through the years, whether it's a Scott Biddle that's filling a closer's role or one of these big arms. Is Connor Spencer similar to anybody that you've had that kind of pops into your mind?
You know, and the thing, I cringe in answering those things because, you know, guys are still developing, they're still emerging, they're still becoming who they're going to become. I think it's a lot easier to say, you know, hey, you know, compare Stephen Head to Scott Biddle, or, you know, guys that, you know, they're done and you can, like, look at their numbers and what they've done. I think to this point, you know, being more of a, you know, just a, you know, he's only been a one inning guy, but does he become, you know, can he stretch him a little longer? We haven't done that, like I mentioned. But I think, you know, the fastball's got a ton of swing and miss. You know, if I had to pick somebody, you know, I would probably pick maybe a guy like Caracy or somebody like that that had a ton of swing and miss from a fastball, from a reliever standpoint. Maybe even a TJ Beam, you know, who was probably similar too. Now, again, different structure. I think they go about it different way. And TJ obviously had some length to him because he became a Friday night starter the next year. But, yeah, you know, I think what makes Connor, you know, special is there's just so much swing and miss from the fastball.
So is his fastball one of those high spin rate fastballs that tends to stay on plane? Is that what gets
them? Well, it's not so much the spin rate. It's just, you know, a lot is the spin and the tilt. And, yeah, it's a lot of ride. So it's not only firm where, you know, usually it's, you know, in the mid-90s and maybe even a tick faster than that some days. But there's a lot of ride to that fastball. So, you know, a lot of guys getting under it. You can't catch up to it.
Big week coming up. You go to Pearl tomorrow night to face a good Southern Miss team that's playing well, coming off of they beat Alabama last week in the midweek, and then got a sweep in conference play, and then got to go on the road in SEC play for a Tennessee team that lost a couple at Alabama this weekend. Certainly, it's a grind, and you've talked about the marathon that you know conference play is, but some big opportunities for you as well.
No doubt, and this is the SEC. You know, I mean, every weekend you're playing a ranked opponent. You're playing in, you know, the nicest and, you know, toughest venues, you know, in the country. And this is why, you know, you come to this league to be able to compete and, like you said, get those opportunities. But it makes it, you know, especially tough week when you play a Southern Miss team, you know, that's, you know, as good as anybody in the Southeastern Conference, and you're going to be playing them on Tuesday night. But, you know, it's good to play an in-state rival, to go down to the Jackson area to play in that nice stadium. I think we look forward to it. I mean, I think it's exciting for the guys.
Coach, a couple of quick ones as we wrap things up. Just a thought on Andrew Fisher. He has the 3-home run game on Saturday, and kind of what he has settled into for you as a guy that's in his first year in your program.
Well, you know, obviously he's been a force for us offensively and has played really good defense. But he's also been a great leader. And, you know, one of the things that I think you hope for, you know, when you get a kid that transfers into your program, not only do you hope that they perform on the field, and he certainly has done that, but he's been great in the locker room and the dugout. He's a great kid.
Pitching plan for tomorrow night against Southern Miss?
Well, we'll go with Riley Maddox, who's, you know, thrown, you know, most of the Tuesdays probably, yeah, you know, to this point. You know, Jackson Prep, you know, star from a few years ago that's been really good for us. And then we'll go the same rotation on the weekend with Dennis, Doyle, and Sonia.
And then finally, any update on JT Quinn, or too soon to know?
Yeah. Yeah, he met with a doctor today, and it looks like it's a strained oblique. So that's unfortunate. You know, that injury, it's kind of like the oblique for a pitcher is kind of like the hamstring for a runner, and you gotta take some time off to let that heal, because those can flare up and really, you know, last a long time. So, you know, he's going to be out for, you know, indefinitely.
Was that,
you know, he'll
kind
be
of
back
a freak
before,
deal?
I mean, he'll pitch before the season's out, but he won't pitch this weekend.
Yeah. Was that just kind of a freak deal where he felt fine and then all of a sudden just kind of on that last bullpen?
Last pitch in the bullpen. Never, you know, it's unfortunate. Oh. He was coming in the game. We went out there, and as I walked out there, you know, you could see something must have happened in his last throw because he was throwing that pitch and coming in the game there in the fifth. And then we called down to the bullpen. I mentioned to the umpire I was going to make a pitching change. And it's just a bad situation.
Coach, thanks so much for your time. Wish you all the best.
Thanks, Richard.
Mike Bianco, head baseball coach at Ole Miss, joining us on the Far.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.